This is Don't Panic, episode number 403, recorded June 16th, 2025. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this episode of Don't Panic, the technology podcast, that podcast about technology. I'm Sean Jennings, joined as always by Colby. Colby, good evening. No jokes tonight. We're getting serious. This is listen, we've goofed around long enough.
Are you making a joke about not making a joke?
Yeah, but I just didn't have any ideas, so I didn't think ahead of time this week.
Right, I can't remember the last time we did a show 2 weeks in a row. Like,
honestly,
you have more time to recharge the joke.
This is a momentous occasion. No, today was a wild one at the office, and my brain by 9 p.m. Eastern is a couple of cells short. So
yeah, I feel that. I feel similarly. What's really wild is that I went to work. Like, I do 3 days a week now. It's crazy.
You know, honestly, they're just trying to ruin your life.
Seriously.
It's terrible. Well, I will tell you, Colby, I am this evening, my beverage of choice is a LaCroix Sunshine. Now, I bought this because they don't tell you what it is. It's not even like sunshine, a mix of whatever flavors. They literally, it's not even in the ingredient list. It just says naturally essenced. There's no way of knowing what this tastes like until you actually crack the can and drink it.
What does it taste like?
I don't know.
I thought you were going to say, I won't tell you.
No, it's delicious. I actually love it a lot. I think it's like a pineapple mango kind of. It's very tropical in that respect. I guess sunshine is accurate. But I just thought the boldness of a beverage to not tell you what it is, but also not make that the gimmick. It's not like mystery soda, you know, or whatever. It's like, no, it's sunshine. You're going to buy it and it's going to taste like sunshine. And it does.
I mean, that's not true of other LaCroix, right? Like have labels.
Well, but they also have, you know what? I was at Target. Okay. So that's where I bought this. They have both lime and key lime. And I that also baffled me. And now I got to look up the difference because they looked so similar. Flavors. Because they do have a lot of flavors. Let's see. Well, I didn't know they had watermelon, coconut, orange. Yeah, there's both lime and key lime. What is key lime? Okay, Colby, listen, you got to listen to this, right? This is from the LaCroix website. Okay. Key lime. Starting with creamy notes of toasted meringue, this fan favorite combines the tart, crisp key lime essence with a rich graham cracker finish. I think it's supposed to taste like a key lime pie.
Do you get did you try it? Did you get the graham cracker finish? Because that seems like, you know.
So here's the thing. I bought either key lime or lime, and I don't remember which, and it's in the closet. So I will have to let you know. I might just be getting regular lime.
Got it.
But Sunshine is the only one they have that doesn't tell you what it is in the title. What does their website describe it as? A bright and sparkling blend of citrus and tropical zest. Yeah, that's about right.
Tropical zest.
They have cherry blossom. I didn't even know that they. That's great. Cherry blossom. My whole life is just flavored sparkling waters now. Like that and coffee are the only things I drink.
Honestly, that's kind of the way to live, right? Like, what more does a person need?
You could do worse.
We're back on the Spindrift bandwagon. We've been buying a lot of Spindrift. They've had all kinds of new flavors lately.
So now I'm going to go. We're already off to a hot. Oh, Spindrift.com is a music company not associated with the Spindrift beverage people. Big whiff by Spindrift. Not
I was going to say that.
Procuring the domain. Right. By the way, super small tech thing. This happened at. You know what? Actually, I'm going to skip that story. Let's talk about Spindrift flavors. So. I will say Cosmopolitan Cosnopolitan is very good. Mm. That's a winner.
We saw that one at the store.
Tropical Lemonade, brand new. Winner. Island Punch, not great.
I think I tried the Island Punch at someone's house and I was underwhelmed. I feel like sometimes, like, if they put too many flavors in it, it just doesn't taste like anything. It tastes like...
Yeah. But that's what I thought Cosmo... Because Cosnopolitan is cranberry, orange, lime, and I'm like, that's a lot. It's actually pretty good. So, hard to say. I have not seen... The only one that I haven't seen is the Berry Bellino, the peach strawberry sparkling water.
I like the Nojito one. I think that one's good. Yeah. And I like the... I think the lemon one is fine. I think the lime one is fine, but there's a lemon lime one that is.
Oh, the lemon limeade.
Perfection.
Yeah.
Yes.
That one's the pink lemonade's pretty good too. Yeah. I like the pineapple a lot.
Pineapple's good.
And the orange tangerine is very good. I'm trying to think of which ones I like will not drink. And there's really not. The raspberry lime I didn't really love.
I don't love grapefruit. In most forms. And I don't love the grapefruit Spindrift.
The problem is I love the grapefruit, but because of my high cholesterol, I'm on medication. And the one thing you cannot do on cholesterol medication is eat grapefruit. And it has ruined my life. I'd rather have high cholesterol and get my grapefruit Spindrift. But
that's fair.
The half TF lemonade's pretty good. I rep for Spindrift. And I talked about Spindrift soda on the show, I believe. Which was a huge bust and a total disaster.
Wait, you talked about what on the show?
Spindrift soda. Oh. Were you on that one?
Maybe. Well, I don't know. If I was, it didn't make a big impression.
That's most things I say. You're okay. I'm not offended. Everything is like orange vanilla, strawberry vanilla. It's a lot of vanilla. And it's just not... It's overwhelming. I always thought the soda would be like Spindrift, but with more fruit in it.
Right.
And it's not. The grape was actually the best one. The other stuff was wacky.
That's weird. Is this like, is it like those poppy drinks?
I've never had poppy and I've wanted to try it. Have never had it. That's on my list.
Looking at like the nutrition facts of this, it sounds like it sounds extremely similar to poppy. And I don't like poppy at all. I think it's somehow the worst of all worlds. Like, I feel like it's billed as like, it's not that many calories, but it tastes good. And like the first sip, like tastes kind of good. And then every subsequent sip, you're like, this just like doesn't taste enough to taste good. And it isn't subtle enough to taste like sparkling water.
Yeah. Oh no. Like I said, they were wacky. They were, you know, you could get like a sampler where you get one of each, and I'm like, oh, this will be fun. And everyone I cracked. The grape was actually pretty good, but that's because it was just grape. The other ones. And have you ever done the spiked Spindrift?
I tried those ones and also didn't like it.
Oh, okay. I liked them. I thought they were good. I think they weren't like exciting, but they kind of tasted like Spindrift. They have a lot more flavors now than they used to.
Wait, there's a pickle? Oh my God. I'm sending you a link. There's a pickle Spindrift. It says 2020 vintage and it costs $2,000.
Is this like on eBay?
I sent it to our chat. No, it's on the Spindrift website.
Oh, is this? Oh, this is a bit. Happy April Fool's Day, it says. So the joke is that a can of cucumber, which is a flavor they used to have, they don't anymore, stuck around so long it turned it in and went bad. And so like a cucumber and vinegar, it turned into pickle.
Ah, they got me.
Available for $2,020. I'm assuming this was a 2020 April Fool's joke.
Must be.
But it's impressive you were able to stumble on it.
It was just, I scrolled down to the bottom and it was the first like blog link at the bottom or something.
They aren't blogging enough. Anyway, great Massachusetts company, Spindrift. They are. Yeah, they were started here and are still based here.
We're Massachusetts is great at seltzer.
Dude, we invented the bubbles.
Yeah.
We invented America and we invented the bubbles. Colby, we do have some unfinished business from last week, but before we get to that, is there anything you'd like to say or discuss on the program this evening?
No, I feel satisfied with our conversation about sparkling waters.
Always happy to talk sparkling waters. It's one of my only hobbies. No joke, I have like 7 to 8 flavors in my fridge at any given time. It's a problem. But enough of that, because we are here to finish up our discussion of WWDC from last week. If you didn't hear last week's show, I recommend you go check it out. It's up on the feed right now. The Worldwide Developers Conference from Apple happened back on June 9th. All the new software, shiny features were announced. We managed to get through about half of them last week. We ranked them into categories, and we're going to finish this week. We've got stuff from watchOS, tvOS, macOS, visionOS, iPadOS. The list. We only really got through the iOS stuff, so quite a list here. I'm going to throw, for those watching the video version or our live stream, you are going to see what I'm talking about. No, you know, I don't want to do that. I want to do this. Cool. Okay. So this is our sheet from last week. Let me blow it up a little bit so y'all can see it. And we are up to watchOS. Again, not every single thing they announced got on this list, for better or worse. Only the notable ones. But we are talking about Workout Buddy, Colby. Are you excited about Workout Buddy?
No, I'm the opposite of excited about Workout Buddy.
Okay, you're disgusted by Workout Buddy.
Yeah, I don't think I want that sort of feedback.
Yeah, so for those who may not have heard, the idea is it gathers all of your workout data, historical and in the moment, and will, with Apple Intelligence and voice generation, create a talking guide while you're exercising. As you're setting up, as you're doing it in real time, it's going to generate someone talking to you. Congratulations, you just set your best mile, or like, keep going, you almost did it, or time to get going, or what, you know, whatever vague workout phrases it will shout in your ears as you go running. And they have this nice long example of this poor lady who has to suffer through Workout Buddy. I'm gonna try and repeat some of the things it says. Great job starting your run. This is your second run this week. You're crushing it. Closing that move ring for 6 straight days. Let's keep building on that with your run today. Fueled by some house vibes. As well as when things happen. 4 miles down. That your last mile was your fastest yet, etc. I'm kind of at a loss on this one. Like, I tend to have opinions about most things, and this is one of those things where I'm like, I feel like this satisfies nobody.
Yeah.
If you're a casual workout person, I don't know if there's enough data in there to actually make it useful. And B, I don't know that you want that much data being fed into your, if you're a hardcore athlete workout type, all this information sounds super vague. Like, this is like, you know, you just finished a mile, like, no shit. I don't know. I need someone in my ear to tell me that. This seems more annoying than helpful. It's not, it doesn't seem from the demo anyway, to really be giving any actual insights. Just vagaries.
Yeah. It doesn't, like, I'm not a big runner, Sean. You might know this about me.
What? Well, I hear you're going to the office 3 days a week. You're telling me you're not running there?
I do walk there a lot of the time, but, no, I'm not running there. But I have tried to do running sometimes. And in the past, I've used like the Nike. There's like a Nike running app, and they've had different iterations of things. But they have, like, you know, some form of like guided runs that is like, it's not telling you what you did. It's telling you what to do, which is sort of helpful because running is horrible. And you hurt yourself. Like, it hurts your body if you do anything except the exact okay thing. And so that was helpful when I was doing that, because I could like follow their little like plan thing, and I didn't like, I mean, I felt bad, excuse me, but I didn't feel like so bad that I could not run again in 2 days or something. But this just seems annoying. Like,
I don't know. And I agree with you. If there was some level of expert, it's like, oh, you're hitting the ground too hard, which you can tell from the accelerometer, like slow down, or, you know, I get that. To me, this is more like, if you're the kind of person who needs a generic AI generated voice in your ear to motivate you into running, just don't run at that point. Like, that would be less sad.
Maybe it's like, maybe it's supposed to be like, so you don't have to look at your watch. Like, maybe if you look at your people looking at their watches is distracting. Like, it takes you out of the flow or something. So maybe
But if that's the argument, then why is it AI generated? I think at that point you would say, okay, go in and program what you want it to tell you when it, you know, tell me every time I hit a mile, tell me every time I set a new record. The fact that this is generated scares the crap out of me because I don't know what random data it's going to throw at you. And it's going to,
it couldn't be saying anything.
Your heart rate is 2 beats per minute higher than it was last month. And you're like, okay, like what? I don't know. Maybe I'm being too pessimistic on it. But like you said, this is not a new idea by any stretch.
Right.
It's just the fact that Apple's doing it. I like that it's integrated with the music a little bit. I guess that's cool. It just seems annoying. Now, Colby, I believe they say a little later on in the video what types of workouts it's compatible with. It is compatible with walking. I think Colby, on a walk to work, needs to take out the Workout Buddy Challenge.
Well, I'll try it. I do, like, I don't know, usually when my watch asks me, like, are you doing an outdoor walk workout? It's like, sure, whatever. You can record it.
Let's go. Yeah. Let's go. And when I'm weightlifting, I'll use it. And we'll do a side-by-side test. So we got to put this in a category. Where does Workout Buddy land? Now, again, our categories on the good to bad scale, game changer, pretty good, unimpressed, bad idea, and then the unsure, I don't hate it. We also have not sure yet, underrated, overrated, huh? Who cares? And late adopter.
I'm either unimpressed or who cares.
I'm going to say unimpressed because I do think there is value to the idea. I just think it's not very interesting. Someone would care if this were, like, you know, helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. Now, one of the other Watch OS additions that we got is a new... No, I don't care about smart stacks. I skipped most of the boring stuff, but let's... I want to show the video of him. The... Flick, the wrist flick. It's a new gesture that dismisses notifications. You can also use it to mute incoming calls, silence timers and alarms, close the smart stack. I love this. This is the kind of shit, if I still had an Apple Watch, all I've ever wanted is to, like, not have to touch. To me, listen, I'm not an Apple Watch user anymore. Interfacing with the Apple Watch was never a good experience for me. It just never felt good. Like, looking at the notifications was great. Getting the heart rate stuff was great, I guess. But to actually functionally do anything on it never felt good. And that's why I love gestures like that, where, because they have the pinch one or whatever, and now they have the flick. Boy, the ability to, like, be in a meeting, you see a notification, and you just give it the subtle little flick, and it goes away, or it starts ringing, you give it the little flick. That is the kind of shit that I'm like, all right, this becomes more interesting than a little touchscreen iPhone on your wrist. So this is exciting to me. It's not, like, game changing, but it's pretty cool. What do you think?
I like the idea. Honestly, I totally forgot about the pinch thing. I've never tried it. Maybe you have to enable it. I don't remember.
I don't know what it does, actually.
Right. I don't remember either. I remember talking about it probably on this show last year.
For navigation and interacting with assistive, well, you don't use assistive touch. Oh, is it just with assistive touch? Is that why you've never done it? You have to set up. So a tap, you go forward. A double tap, you go back. A clench is a tap. And a double clench shows the action menu. Well, so.
I guess that's why I haven't used it.
Could you? I was about to say, you could do that.
Well, the flick, I like the idea. My concern with the flick is that it will be too easy to do.
You're going to be accidentally hanging up on people all the time. And
right.
Your sleep alarm's going to go off and you're going to move your wrist and it's going to snooze you.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel like the classic Apple Watch experience is that, you know, it's the, like, trying to get the screen to turn on when you when you need to see something on it. And that never works.
I agree. So where does it go? I'm going to put it in I don't hate it.
Sure.
If you weren't here, I'd put it in pretty cool, but I think you give a good point that it's like, it's just moving your wrist a little bit. It's not like that game changing. So
if it works well, I think it's cool.
But that's what I want. I want to, like, if I like fling my arm up, it does something. Or if I like do a punching motion, it does something. Like, I want crazy gestures.
Like Wii style or something.
Yes. I want to be able to hit a tennis, fake tennis racket with it. Like, yes.
Right. I'm with you.
I love that. Now that's watchOS. It's getting a few other things. You know, the liquid glass design and some other stuff. TVOS, maybe Apple's least interesting platform, is also getting liquid glass, which is cool. But I put a line item in here, Cole, because I know you're excited. I wrote it down. Exciting new Apple TV originals. Got a whole shout out. There's always something new to watch on Apple TV. They put up that chart at the beginning that said they were the highest rated in quality of all the streaming services. I don't know if that's your metric to success, but we've got some big shows coming to Apple TV that nobody will be talking about, but they'll be expensive. We know that.
That's true. They always are.
They look so goddamn expensive. We've got the Jason Momoa Hawaiian show, Chief of War. We've got Foundation season 3. You watch Foundation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good
stuff?
It's fine. Slow Horses is really good.
Is it really good? Again, never heard of it. Loot season 3?
Loot? I don't remember. I watched some of Loot.
The new Spike Lee joint. We got the morning shows back. The Lost Bus.
Is that the Magic School Bus? Gritty Magic School Bus reboot?
Honestly, that would be pretty successful.
Oh, Platonic was good too.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some cool stuff here. I don't know, Colby, how are you feeling about the upcoming slate of exciting Apple TV Plus originals?
I'll definitely watch some of them. I will definitely watch Slow Horses because it's very good. I will watch Platonic because the first season was good. I'll probably watch The Morning Show. I think it was fine. The Lost Bus sounds confusing.
It's based on a true story of if I'm remembering this, because I did read about this, it is a school bus full of children breaks down in the middle of a wildfire, and it's up to, and some guy went in to like into the fire to save them and drive them out, hence the Lost Bus.
Got it. That must, is that a movie then? Doesn't sound like.
I believe it is, yes.
Got it. I don't think I'll watch that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm probably not going to watch any of these. Cause I'm just going to forget about them. That's my biggest problem with scripted programming these days is like, I'm like, oh, that looks cool. And I just forget it exists.
Right.
They're not, I've been meaning to watch that John Hamm Apple TV show for like 2 months. I have not gotten to that. So where do we put exciting new Apple TV Plus originals on our list here?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's fair. I like that. It isn't. It's not good. It's not bad. It's a thing that's happening.
Right. I feel like the things that are good are balanced out by the things that are like, who cares? So
less good.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Now we did get one other. Believe it or not, we got two TVOS announcements, which is crazy. The other is built-in TV karaoke. I know. I listen, cool your horses, man. I know this is game-changing stuff. So using Apple Music, the lyrics will be put up on the screen, and your iPhone becomes the microphone, amplifying your voice onto the screen. So the mic will go up onto your TV speakers, and then visual effects that will also light up your big screen. There's a photo here. Colby, this may be one of the stupidest looking things I've ever seen in my life. It's literally holding your iPhone up. I'm singing karaoke went into my phone, went up to the TV that's right in front of me. Listen, I'm the king of singing in the shower, singing in the car. I literally will bring my phone into the shower and read the lyrics off of my phone while I'm singing in the shower. The invention of the waterproof iPhone has changed my life. This is bananas to me. I can't imagine anyone actually, like, it's one thing to put the lyrics up on the screen and you just sing along, but what is the upside to you, like,
singing into the phone?
Yeah, I mean, I guess if there was like a, you know, you were in a giant party with 100 people and there was a party mode and your voice came out over the speakers, but in a, in like this picture example of three people, it's like
just sitting around.
Listen, I'm not here to like tell Apple how to run their gajillion dollar business, right, but every time it's like, oh, you know, Siri AI is not ready yet. And I'm like, but TV karaoke was. I mean, someone designed and built this, right?
It's true.
I don't know, Colby. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm overdoing it here.
I don't know. Like, maybe it's for the big party, you know? Like, maybe it's, you know, obviously the picture they're showing here is three people, which seems weird. Like, why do you need to be amplified back? But, like, maybe the intent is actually, you know, to accommodate all. Like, obviously, I mean, well, maybe I shouldn't say obviously. It seems like it's better with many people.
Sure, yes. My solo karaoke sessions probably won't be improved. My question is, I think it's because I'm looking at the shot of it from the video, and it's like there's an option for song vocals, and like maybe you can do fun voice changing stuff, or people can add songs to a cue when you have multiple people doing it. Like, maybe, you know, I think you put enough spice on it, it's interesting.
Yeah. Well, one thing that's interesting about this is I know from working at Spotify that in like music royalty land, there is a different class of music royalty where, like, if you want to just play a song, right, it's like one tier of like royalty that you have to pay the record company or whatever. But if you want to play a song synchronized with video, you enter a second, more expensive tier of like royalties that you have to pay. And like when I was working at Spotify, there were all these like internal, like random projects where it's like someone built karaoke on Spotify. And it was like, we can never, ever ship this because karaoke goes into that like second.
And it'd bankrupt us.
Right, right. Karaoke goes into the synchronized with video tier. And I wonder if something about this like circumvents that, or they like made it cut a deal. Like, you know, did they cut a deal with them, or does Apple just not give a fuck?
Or maybe there's a new tier of Apple Music where it's like Apple Music plus karaoke.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. It's a very fair question. Again, Colby, with with as few people who are going to actually know this exists and go in and use it, I think Apple can cover it. They're going to be just fine.
Maybe that's the, like, they're betting, you know, they're betting on the, they have a ton of money and no one is going to do this.
This is that perfect example in like 4 years when we're covering another WWDC. And we're like, oh yeah, didn't they put karaoke in Apple TV? And we're like trying to remember if that was actually a thing. Yeah. And the answer is they did. Remind us if we don't remember. All right, TV karaoke goes in. I want to put in, huh? Huh? Fair. All right, we gotta continue on now because we have got Mac Tahoe. Some cool stuff happening there, starting with the liquid glass. We've talked about plenty. No more menu bar, new icons. And in addition to that, we now have, what did I have first on my list? You've got new options for customizability. Like, now you can customize the widgets in the widget center with new widget options. You can change the color of your folders, add emojis and symbols to them.
This I'm excited about.
So you can organize all your projects. And with customized theme colors, you can really go nuts in customizing your Mac. The other thing that's really interesting, they give some examples here, is with continuity, live activities are coming to the Mac for the first time. They will sync from your phone and other Apple devices and will pop up right in your menu bar so you can track them. And when you click on the live activity, it will open iPhone mirroring right into the app where you are theoretically tracking that. I don't really want to talk about phone. So between those, the customizability, the live activities, we can split them if you want. But Colby, what do you think of these two new options on your Mac?
I like the customizability. I feel like I never take the time to have fun with my computer anymore. I don't know if I'll do this, but I like that someone could. Live activities, though, I think is awesome. I like all of the continuity features are awesome. Like they all work so well. With the new job, they gave us new company MacBooks, and we're not allowed to log into our iCloud. So I can't continuity copy and paste from my phone onto my computer, and I absolutely hate it.
Yeah, that is a surprising feature that they, you know, in the same way you can have multiple profiles, that you can't have multiple iCloud accounts,
right,
that you swap between.
Right.
Right. That's disappointing.
But alas, I think we're just not allowed to assign into an iCloud account at all.
But like, then that means you can't like download from the App Store or anything?
You can sign into an iCloud account just in the App Store. But like, you can't like sign it like, you know, in settings on your computer.
Right. The syncing and all that kind of. At that point, Colby, why don't you just have a PC? I mean, come on.
I don't know, man.
This is ridiculous.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I agree with you. The continuity stuff is great. Live activities are awesome. I feel like I don't get that many live activities. Like, I do get some. I feel like it's not like, I feel like the promise of it was like all these apps are like ESPN, right. literally just like 2 weeks ago added live activities for sports.
What were they waiting
for? ESPN app. I don't know. That's why it was weird. It popped up for an NBA game. And I'm like, huh, that's never been on there before.
I'm trying to think,
which was strange.
I get them for Uber.
Yeah.
Like Uber was pretty on top of it. And I get them for like plane stuff, like flights. Flighty does it, but I think a lot of the airplanes do it too. I guess it's
slowly growing.
Yeah, it's like travel stuff, which is nice. I think it's nice for Uber.
I love the idea, and I really love the idea that you can click into it and open it. Yeah. If you want to quickly check what it's live activitying. I think that's one thing I never think to do when I'm on my Mac is open up the screen mirroring. I just like forget it's there. But if they're going to kind of bring it to the forefront of like, hey, this is happening on your phone, you should take a look at it. I think that's great. To me, that's a it's somewhere between pretty cool and game changer. I don't know. What do you think?
I think it's pretty cool.
Pretty cool. Now, what about the where would we put the customization piece? I agree with you. I don't think it's not a game changer, but I think just having the option is nice. And I think for power users, it's am I going to ever change the color of a folder? Probably not.
Oh, I forgot about the folder change. I think it's underrated.
Okay. I respect that. I am excited. I can be a sucker for those guys who are like, oh, here's what my desktop looks like. And it looks all crazy. And you're like, how'd you do that? Like, I like that stuff. So I want to see what people do with it.
Yeah, I do like, you know, like, I think I'm going to use like the folder color changing icon stuff because they all kind of like. Maybe this is like as I'm getting older, but like reading is more work than it was when I had better vision. You know, if you can just like have a, you know, it was like, oh, I'm doing this thing. I need to click the red one. That might be
super
great
simplified. Yeah. Well, you know, actually, I just thought of this, but next up here, we're going to talk about shortcuts. I wonder if you could make shortcuts that change the colors of folders like dynamically, like. And you're really talking. This is one I'm both excited about and know I'll never use. Updates to shortcuts for Mac. Obviously you can create automations, but now on Tahoe you can run them automatically, like at a specific time of day or when you take actions like saving a file to a folder or connecting to a display. There's a whole bunch of automation actions, but there's also intelligent actions with Apple Intelligence. You know, you can create an image, summarize something, use the private cloud compute model to generate something. You can also use ChatGPT as well to generate things. Mm. We'll talk about new Spotlight in a second, but they have an example on here where, you know, you're a student and you take notes in a class. You can automate it to, you know, generate a summary automatically, then automatically add it to a note. Yeah.
You know what? I just had this thought, like, as you were showing this, I don't mind like writing code myself. Like, I don't, most of the time I don't feel super compelled to have an AI that like is going to do it for me, but I would love an AI that could build shortcuts for me. Cause I think like doing the shortcuts stuff is so like it's kind of easy, but boy, is it extremely annoying to use those apps. Like the apps are so complicated and like weird and like, you know, you click on the wrong thing all the time. And I would love to be able to say to like ChatGPT or Apple, whatever, like, hey, make me a shortcut that does this, this, and this. And that would be really, really
honestly,
great.
Well, I would say two things. One, I bet you could actually, and get pretty close, or at least detailed instructions on how to set it up. So, but the other thing is, I'm very surprised they never did a shortcut store or yeah, some way for people right. to publish and share. Because you're right, it is a lot of work and people get really specific.
You know,
I think like an Ift or a Zapier do things like that all the time.
I think there is a way to share them, but I don't like.
There is.
Right.
Like, there are websites
text message
that have
it
them.
To you or something.
Right? Yeah. But like listen, I would spend 99 cents on a really good automation shortcut. So a place for people to share it would be great. Because that's the thing is like, I'm sure this could do dynamite awesome stuff and I have no clue what I would do with it. Like I have no ideas.
Right.
And so maybe this will be a future when Tahoe comes out. This could be a future Don't Panic challenge where maybe each of us has to make a detailed shortcut. Like I wonder how much of my like podcast like edit and creation workflow I could automate or
I feel like I have all kinds of stuff where I need to like, you know, there are like weird dances I do where it's like, oh, I got a document in this category, I need to put it in this folder for, you know, when I do my taxes next year or something.
Yeah, I mean literally I wouldn't even know where to start, but But I think it's really interesting. I think people will do fun stuff with it. For me, if we're going to throw this into a category, I'm going to call this pretty cool. Pretty cool. Now, this was closely followed by one other big Mac announcement, which was Spotlight. The longtime search tool on a Mac is getting a pretty big upgrade. It now has file search built into it. Including intelligent suggestions based on routines or what you're working on. You can also instantly search and access all of your apps, including apps on your phone.
This I like.
There's also actions, app actions in Spotlight, like send a message, create a task. There's hundreds already to come with it. Create an audio recording, play podcasts, add alarm. And you can do it no matter what app you're currently in. For example, you can type send email and it'll say send, and you put the message to the recipient with subject, and boom, you've sent an email directly from Spotlight, essentially. It'll also know what app you're working on, and Spotlight will be able to pull specific actions from within the app that the developers enable for Spotlight. And one thing to go with Spotlight is quick keys. So these are specific short strings of characters that you can type directly in a Spotlight that you program. For example, sending a message might just be SM. And boom, it'll come right up. A new reminder might be AR to add a reminder. And you'll instantly be in it and you can program all of these. Some are automatically created. but you can obviously custom and create your own. They do kind of a longer example here, where the Apple guy searches for a document, opens the document, then uses it to generate an image with Apple AI and puts it right in his document. Then can type in, wants to remove the background from the image and can type right into Spotlight, say background removal. There's the item, click it, and boom, it just did it directly from Spotlight, just by typing in the action, rather than doing it from the menu. There, it will also pull from your clipboard with clipboard history. So not just the last thing you pasted, but past things you pasted.
This was definitely one of the things that was playing when my computer crashed. I missed all of this.
I just made your day.
Sean, and I have an important question for you. Do you use like a third party app launcher thing?
No, I mean, the thing is, I'm such a bad guy when it comes to Mac OS because I use a PC 99% of the time at work. Mm. And at home, I have a Mac, but all I use it for is to record podcasts, play Steam occasionally, and watch YouTube videos. So I'm really not a guy who would ever go nuts with. Now, I always use like Finder search to look for files. Spotlight, I don't think, and I use like, I'll open the launch pad and search for an app in there. I guess you could do that. And so, no, I guess I don't really ever use it. I mean, this, you're pretty excited, Colby. I mean, you think this is something you're going to.
Well, I feel like one of the things I always liked about having the Mac, a Mac from the beginning, was being able to like launch apps from, you know, you do like the little whatever, the command space, and then you can like search for the app you want and open it up. But that's, you know, historically, that's been just the slippery slope down into getting like, excuse me, like Alfred or Raycast or like, you know, one of many other like app launcher things that you replace the Spotlight shortcut with. And they do like kind of crazy things like this. Like you can, you know, set all your own hotkeys and shortcuts and like
right.
have them like talk to ChatGPT or like, you know, run scripts or something on your thing. And I use one of those things, but I really do not go very deep in the customization. I feel like some of these things, I might just be able to delete those. just get rid of those things and use regular old Spotlight and not think about it anymore. I think the contextual app stuff is extremely, that's a very cool idea. Because another nice Mac OS thing was that is that you can always, like in every app, you can open the help menu like along the top, and there's a search bar, and you can search for stuff, and it searches through all the menus. So yeah. Like if you know something is in one of those menus but you don't know where it is, this happens in like complicated apps like Photoshop, where they have like there are 100 menu, you know, menu items across the top, and each of them has 100 options in it. It's super helpful to search for it. But I feel like having that be a part of having stuff like that be a part of your just command space workflow, like built in, like I feel like every app in the entire world builds in some kind of like quick key palette, command palette thing now, like Slack does this, like all of them. And I think it would be great if it were just a sort of like unified thing that ever wasn't slightly different for every single app in the entire world.
Yeah, I mean, it's such, I mean, you combining it even with the shortcuts and automation piece, if you're really hardcore, this is not for your mom and pop user. This is a hardcore user thing. But if you're aggressive about setting it up, man, the workflows you can create with these tools, especially for repetitive tasks. If I had a standard key combo, a quick key for like, take the document I'm looking at and generate a new Teams chat with this attached to it. Like I do that 20 times a day. To have a single key that just does that is awesome. And boy, you pick 5 to 10 things you do every single day, give them a quick key, and it can contextually sort of put those things together. I think that is really, really cool. It's just, you got to put in a lot of work. I mean, that's the thing with all these, is how well does it work out of the box, and how much work is it going to be to set them up to work well? Because this is a mix of automated intelligence, but also manually programming it to fit your needs. So it's a tough one.
Yeah. Yeah. I could be convinced to put this under Game Changer. I think it's pretty.
I think I will too.
I think it combines well with some of the other ones too, which is cool. Like Shortcuts with Apple Intelligence, for example.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm totally with you. Search has become, in general, bad. In basically every app I've ever used it in, it has gotten noticeably worse. Outlook, which basically has my entire life in it, used to be mediocre at search, and now it is unusable in search. And I need it because that's where every file or thought I've ever had is located. And I cannot find anything anymore. And what's funny is my IT department's like, well, you have Microsoft Copilot now, and you can use that to search your Outlook. And I'm like, it's so bad. No disrespect to Copilot, although Copilot is, by the way, noticeably worse than ChatGPT or any other AI I've ever used. It's like the kindergarten version. It's whack. But it's not any better in search than just using the search box. You just have to say it in the form of a question.
Right. For me, that Slack is that. Like, and Slack search is nice because you can do, like, they have lots of like nice parameters that you can add. Like you can like search for like messages from Sean in this channel in a conversation with like Dan, and yeah, like that'll work. But at the new job, the Slack retention policy is 30 days.
Oh, so
Slack history.
Someone get the lawyers on the phone. That doesn't sound right.
The Slack history is deleted after 30 days, and it's weird. Like, we just recently like crossed the 30 day mark, and now things I said, you know, in May are disappearing.
Well, I think it sounds like you need to create a shortcut to automatically scrape all your Slack messages into a database.
I do not think they would be.
No, probably not. But what are you going to do, right? All right, we're almost to the end here. That's all the big stuff for Tahoe. Lastly, VisionOS, I have nothing interesting to say, except now you can put a clock on the wall and the 3D people look less scary. The last sort of big thing is iPadOS, where in the continued Macification of iPad, we now have multitasking with windows. That's right. You can make them small and you can make them big and you can put them over each top of each other. And it's basically the Mac again. Wee. Cool. You can tile them. You can minimize them. It's literally, if you've ever used a computer with a mouse, you get the idea. And so I'll play a little video here. But Colby, I know you and I, we're not the biggest iPad guys. But nonetheless, how does a Windows multitasking experience on iPad, how does that do for you?
I think it sounds kind of cool. I don't know. Obviously, I'm going to wait and see what people say about this. But there's a certain appeal to this. It makes the idea of having an iPad for stuff more appealing. I really like, I have my personal Mac laptop, like the MacBook Air from some years ago, and I don't use it very often. I don't like do anything on it besides like email and, you know, look at stuff on Amazon or something. This could be cool. What do you think?
I think, first of all, I think you need a giant iPad for this to make sense.
Oh, totally, yeah.
You need like that, like, you know, size of a, you know, a poster board sized iPad for this to be interesting. But the one thing that the only way I would find the windowing useful is, all right, imagine a world where your iPad is your everyday computer. Super portable. It's light. Use the touchscreen for fun stuff. And then when you get to your desk, you dock it. Great new mouse support for all of these windowing applications. So you got a mouse, you got a keyboard, you can connect it to a larger screen. And it essentially acts as a Mac. And that's where you're really using the window on your big 28, 30, whatever inch monitor. That's an interesting computer use to me. Like, there is an argument. Like, I think if you're just like using your iPad casually and you never connect it to a bigger display, you probably don't need the windowing. But if you're trying to be really productive, there really is a fine line between a docking a Mac to your office setup and docking an iPad to your office setup. And the only difference is what? I mean, it's just, the app has to be available for the Mac's apps, for the iPad app store versus anything you want to run on your Mac. I mean, from a user experience perspective, and we'll talk in a second about the updated Files app, but it's hauntingly similar, especially now that you can run your iPad and iOS apps on Mac. I could easily recreate this experience on my Mac if I only used mobile apps in Windows. So I don't think it makes sense for the casual iPad user. But I think if you're a power user, you could make a solid argument that this can now, in a lot of ways, replace a full laptop.
Yeah. I think, like, I don't know. I guess maybe maybe it's, like, there in a... Like, I wonder, can you, like... I don't know. I don't know. I have so many questions. I have more questions than answers, Sean.
I think that's extremely fair. And with a lot of this stuff, it's a wait and see. I'm not surprised they did it. I think it's a logical conclusion. I think these OSs are going to just get closer and closer as time goes on. And it wouldn't surprise me someday if both your laptop and your iPad carry both, a version of both that you can flip between. Mm-hmm. Or again, everyone's been saying that the touchscreen MacBook, which we've never gotten.
Right.
Now that you can run touch-focused mobile apps on it. I wonder if there's an iPad mode that you flip to and it's basically this. I don't know. It's a good question. I'm curious where it's going, but it's definitely going somewhere. No doubt about it. To me, this is a... I'm going to put this under not sure yet. This is a wait and see. And then the last one is just a continued extension of this, which is updating... Yeah. Skipping ahead here. Yeah, well, see, there it is connected to the monitor. Mm. I mean, come on, that's a Mac. It has a menu bar.
Sean, perhaps this is the touchscreen Mac.
Oh, my God. It's the best of both worlds. Oh my. It's got the same processor. It's crazy. It is like if I was today, like buying a new computing device, I'm just trying to think of what do I do on my Mac that I would have a problem or couldn't do on this thing. Now that it's got one thing they talked about was advanced audio support for microphones and cameras and things like that connecting via USB. I don't know. Files, everyone's least interesting app. Has been supercharged. You can now do customizable folders just like on Tahoe. And they sync across your Mac devices. So it'll be yellow or blue on all your devices. You can also now choose which app opens the files when you open them. Again, much more Mac-like. Mm. You can put folders in the dock. So now if there are certain folders you use regularly, you can lock them down to your dock. And when you tap on one, it fans out showing the files inside, just like Mac. You can also drag files in and out of a folder directly into an app. They also added preview. Again, another Mac favorite, really focused on PDFs. But now you can open them, mark them up with Apple Pencil and sign them and annotate and do all that fun stuff without needing a third-party app. It'll just be built right in. I think this is just a continuation of what we talked about. It's the Macification. you know, now you've got a real, you look at the way they open these menus. It looks just like Mac. It's crazy. I feel like we say this every WWDC when they do iPad stuff, where it's like, it's just like the Mac. I mean, now it like, it's the Mac, Colby. They did the Mac twice.
Right.
Crazy.
It is crazy. I don't know. It's cool. Honestly, that was the things I was wondering when a second ago when I said I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. Was A, can you pick what app files open in, and B, can you like drag file, you know, plop files into a window or something? And you can. So.
And again, you think about it with the mouse support, which was a very brief mention, but enhanced mouse support, I get doing it with your finger is one thing, but if you're clicking and dragging and you're right clicking, I don't think it would be hard to be a desktop user using an iPad as a computer. Yeah. I think it's pretty compelling.
Yeah, man. And, you know, like imagine these Spotlight shortcuts and stuff happening on the iPad.
Well, and then it's like in the same way you can run mobile apps on your desktop in Mac. What if they made a container where on iOS and iPad OS, you can run Mac or original Mac apps in an iPad looking software window? I mean, it's not hard to see where the roadmap is going here.
Right. Right. Wow. What a time to be alive. I think this one is... This is like, I feel like one of the first things they've announced in a long time where it was like felt like a meaningful change to one of the things. A meaningful change. Right? Like the iPhone, you know, the camera gets better. Like there are little things every year that are just fine. Like the Mac, nothing really changes. And like the iPad, you know, like you were saying, like, yeah, it gets like a little bit more every year. But this feels like the device is not new, but it seems like the way they're thinking about it is quite new. Like,
yeah, well, I think they say it every, this is the biggest change we've ever done. I actually think this is the biggest change they've done to right. iPad OS in quite a while. They actually earned that.
Yeah. I think it's cool.
And great for, listen, if you're one of those people with the giant iPads and you use it every day for a lot of stuff, this is going to be a big one. Who knows? This is not the last we're going to hear of it, I'm sure. Colby, you did it. You survived WWDC. You made it all the way through.
We did it, Sean.
Took two episodes. Gosh darn it. We talked about the new stuff. And of course, hardware this fall. So they're already talking about a super slim iPhone, potentially, I've seen. Who knows what other features they'll figure out how to incorporate. But we shall see. Any other thoughts on your mind for this evening?
No, sir. I don't think so.
Well, that's very reasonable. Quickly, before we send it off for this Monday... Of course, I always love to tease our sister programming over at Up for Debate at upfordebate.tv. We're continuing our playthrough of Indiana Jones and the Fate of Atlantis. I'm a little behind on publishing them, but if you've been watching live on the Twitch channel, you actually get a sneak preview ahead of time. This past week, we streamed live. We've made our way into Atlantis. And no joke, our next live episode will be the finale of Indiana Jones and the Fate of Atlantis. We will beat the game. Assuming we don't screw it up. The puzzles only get stupider. We only cheat more. It's pretty wild. But we are going to beat the game and defeat the Nazis. So check that out. And Matt has also chosen our summer movie theme for the year.
Is it Indiana Jones?
It's not. It's not. We're done with Indiana Jones for a long time. I've had enough. Matt wants to find, in his words, the strangest movie of the 2000s. And so he's come up with a convoluted system where across five categories, action, comedy, kids movie / animated, drama, and host choice, we're each going to pick two movies in each category in a bracket that will go all the way to figure it out. Now, if you're doing the math in your head, Yes, that means somehow we're going to watch 20 movies for a week over the course of the summer to hopefully eventually come to the most 2000s movie we can find. I don't know how we're going to. I know Matt doesn't have school. I do have a job, so four movies a week will be fun. So if you have any suggestions for those categories of any 2000 to 2010 movie that you think is representative of the decade, please shout.
Were the Star Wars prequels in the 2000s?
They were. I kind of feel like they're more 90. To me, it's like Pirates of the Caribbean or Transformers is kind of like that early 2000s
Pirates
stank.
Of the Caribbean.
Like that kind of like glossy, big budget sort of things where it's kind of grimy a little bit. Yeah, we're going to come up with some good stuff. And maybe, Colby, we'll have you on as a guest. We'd love to have you come on and talk. If you have, like I said, think about your favorite movies of the 2000s.
You know me, I love an excuse to watch a movie. So,
well, you might have to watch four. So be like, we love our guests. We're going to make you watch four movies this week to talk about them.
Great. I'll ask Laura. Laura will probably have ideas for this.
Bring it on. Like I said, I have a whole host choice category.
Is that a movie from
the
2000s? Bring it on.
What?
Bring it on.
Bring it on. Yeah, I think so. I think it's like 03 or something. So sure. At this point, I'll take anything. So upfordebate.tv is the website. Subscribe wherever you get podcasts and follow us live at twitch.tv/upfordebateTV. Make sure you follow to get notified when we go live. This show is Don't Panic at don'tpanic.io. All the audio and video of our past episodes are there. Be sure to go back and listen to last week's WWDC episode if you didn't hear it. We talk about all the previous features we didn't talk about tonight. Of course, the video is on YouTube, the audio wherever you get podcasts. You can also email us at don'tpanicshow@gmail.com and watch us live on twitch.tv/don'tpanicshow or on our Facebook page or our YouTube page or just about everywhere you want to be. So we're going to wrap it up here. But on behalf of Colby, I'm Sean. We appreciate you being here. We're going to see you next time for another great episode of Don't Panic. This has been a Coffee and Beer production, executive produced by Dan Miller, Colby Rabideau, and Sean Jennings. To learn more, visit coffeeandbeer.tv.